The late 1930s was a time of great cultural change in America. In the face of a looming world war, the frivolity of the 20s was replaced with an industrial atmosphere that gave rise to a new artistic aesthetic. Today, historians call that period mid-century modern, and much of it was created right here in Michigan. A new book from the Michigan State Historic Preservation Office documents that era, Michigan Modern, the design that shaped America, is a collection of essays about the style that shaped architecture, automobiles, and furniture. Current State's Kevin Lavery spoke with two experts on modernism. Brian Conway is the State Historic Preservation Officer and the book's co-editor, and Leslie Edwards is the head archivist at the Cranbrook Educational Community, the suburban Detroit campus that taught many of the period's greatest minds. They met at the Orpheus Fountain, the gateway to the iconic 1942 Cranbrook Art Museum.
We looked at the foundation of modernism during the period roughly 1900 up to World War II, the war period, and then the post-war period where we really saw the boom in housing and architecture and design.
Leslie, you are the head archivist here at Cranbrook. Why is this a special place in your mind?
It's a special place for a variety of reasons. You think of this guy, George Booth, who lived in Detroit. Had a lot of industrialist friends. He came out here in 1904 and saw this landscape, which was basically farm country. There was nothing here, and his friends thought he was crazy, and he had this vision. He initially wanted to just build a summer home, and as time went on, he had Albert Kahn come out and design the first buildings on campus were Farm Group Number 1, and it was a working farm where Kingswood School now is. And then Albert Kahn designed Cranbrook House. And at that time, the Booths decided to live out here permanently. And he really was a visionary. To think that this one man could come up with this whole idea for this place that's education and art and architecture and science and religion all combined into one is really something.
Around 1925 is when George Booth hired Eliel Saarinen. That's when things really began to get going here at Cranbrook. In the 20s, we had a period that lasted into the 30s, the Art Deco period. Somewhere in the late 30s, though, as Cranbrook was really coming into its own, we started to see, as the war was approaching, a real shift in art and architecture away from the Deco period. What was really driving that?
Well, actually, during that period here in Michigan, we saw a number of things happening which may have, in the broader view, kind of pushed away Art Deco, or what later became Art Moderne. In Michigan, we had, of course, the auto industry and the factory designs by Albert Kahn. And those factory designs, because of the auto industry being such a worldwide phenomenon, the entire world was looking at Detroit to see what was happening in terms of architecture, and in particularly factory design. We had Albert Kahn together, a Detroit architect, together with his brothers, who were hired by the auto industry to develop buildings to handle the capacity of automobiles on multiple stories. He developed a system of a concrete factory design, which later then became patented and was later used throughout the world in factory design, commonly called the Truscon structural system. And that clean and simple sleekness, utilitarian look of the factory buildings caught the attention of architects worldwide. So I think as that became more popular, that tended to push out some of the earlier, more historical styles like Art Deco.
So the utilitarian chic movement kind of came up out of necessity then?
Right. It was a movement towards simplification. It was actually in the pre-war era. People were looking for something new.
Well, how did the public, how did the consumer feel about that shift from something that was pretty ornate to something that was a little more stripped down and looked a little more cookie cutter? And I don't mean that to be an insult of the design, but it really was a much more Spartan appearance than Art Deco.
Well, there were certain things that happened that I think influenced popular culture. One important thing was the development of the General Motors Technical Center, initially designed by Eliel Saarinen, and then the commission taken over by his son, Eero Saarinen. Today it's credited as being an Eero Saarinen design. But that was something that the general public really hadn't seen before. Yet it was coming from this country's, or perhaps this world's, largest corporation at the time. It received a tremendous amount of public exposure, including on the opening day a televised speech by President Eisenhower. So it was a popular phenomenon that everybody knew what was happening. And of course, everybody was interested in automobiles. We also saw the furniture industry changing from the historical styles to a more modern look and finding a new clientele, actually in pre-war and then certainly more so in post-war as people were looking for a fresh new look. And that was highly publicized, and we see it then moving into popular culture in advertisements, in magazines that heavily promoted lifestyle like House and Garden or House Beautiful or others. So it was a lot of promotion.
In addition to that, I think you can go even a little bit farther back than GM Tech Center. There were some shifts that were happening nationwide. You had industrial designers like Raymond Loewy were starting to, and Walter Teague, doing a more streamlined look in terms of even locomotives or Russell Wright's American Way line of furnishings. And there was a movement to also, even artists here at Cranbrook were designing for, you know, the middle class person as opposed to the wealthy person who might have been able to afford these more flourishing styles. You were trying to get more simplified versions and made of more contemporary, less expensive materials, but that were of high design. And there were a lot of artists here at Cranbrook in the 30s that were moving in that direction. And then I think another big component is the 1939 World's Fair.
Gateway to the $155 million Wonderland. From far and near come countless visitors. By every mode of travel, every means of transportation, they arrive to view the marvels of the greatest exposition in history.
That was a huge influence on popular culture and the introduction of new materials like Lurex and aluminum and neon, and these things were all helping to drive this movement towards modernism.
We're talking with Leslie Edwards, who is the head archivist at the Cranbrook Academy, and also Brian Conway, who is the State Historic Preservation Officer for the state of Michigan. We're going to leave the grounds of the Art Museum now, late 1930s architecture. We're going to go to Kingswood and take a look at that. That was really the stamp of the Saarinen family. And Leslie, again, explain to me what Kingswood really was.
Kingswood was designed and opened in 1931 by Eliel Saarinen at the request of George and Ellen Booth as a school for girls, as opposed to Cranbrook School, which was the campus for the boys. Okay, so where we are currently, on the left is the dining hall and on the right is the auditorium. This is Kingswood School for Girls, and it looks like they're doing repair on the floor. That's a constant here. It's such a large campus, it always needs upkeep. But again, here you can see the windows here, and over here you've got triangle patterns, even the light fixtures and how they reflect light up onto the ceiling. Just watch your step here. One of my favorite parts of the dining hall is the way, again, the repeated patterns. You've got the triangles and the leaded glass, and if you look, you can see the stepped chimney pattern, and then above, triangles that are made from the light reflecting on the ceiling. I mean, it's genius, really. So, Brian, maybe you want to talk a little bit about the furniture?
Well, the furniture was an early project of Eero Saarinen, the son of Eliel and Loya Saarinen. And it was part of the philosophy of an entire family project with the tapestry on the far end, designed and executed by Mrs. Saarinen,
yep, right.
Loya Saarinen.
And that has a very distinctly medieval look to it.
It's actually finish. more finish in character. And if you look up above you, you've got stencil work designed by Pipsan Saarinen, the daughter of Loya and Aliel. Again, a total work of art.
Even though modernism was about form follows function, there certainly was a healthy dose of artistry involved.
Oh, absolutely. Everything here on this campus is designed, from the brick paving, the textiles, the furniture. It was all part of that total work of art, and the Saarinen family was really good at that.
Brian, your organization, the State Historic Preservation Office, is sponsoring a series of events that are themed with Michigan Modern Design. They're happening this month in October, and they are coming up pretty quickly, actually. What are some of those events?
We are opening a temporary exhibit in the Michigan Historical Museum in downtown Lansing on Saturday, October 8th. That exhibit is called Minds in Modernism. Then we are also doing a series of lectures right here at Cranbrook starting on Sunday, October 16th, and following for the next three Sundays through November 6th. Each Sunday will be a series of lectures featuring three speakers from across the country dealing with various topics about Michigan modernism, including such things as a day on Minoru Yamasaki, a day on designing America's homes, and then a final day on the General Motors in designing the American dream of the automobile.
And Minoru Yamasaki, of course, best known, among other works, for the World Trade Center design.
That's correct, and people don't realize he had his office right here in Southeast Michigan and designed buildings throughout the world, including many magnificent buildings right here in Michigan, which we'll discuss during those lecture series.
Brian Conway is the State Historic Preservation Officer for the state of Michigan. He's also a co-editor of the brand new book, Michigan Modern, Design That Shaped America, published this week. Brian, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Kevin. It's a pleasure.
And Leslie Edwards is the head archivist at the Cranbrook Educational Community, which is one of the premier art and architectural design schools in this country, if not the world. Thank you, Leslie, for your time as well.
Thank you.
For Current State, I'm Kevin Lavery.